We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
He is just an obsessive goal scorer.
But they have to understand I chose to stay in my country because I'm French.
And the Bernabeu blinks it back!
I haven't got a problem with soccer, to be fair.
Football.
Into the area to Bernabeu! Oh, what a start!
What I can guarantee to you is that they want to keep everything secret.
Hello everybody and welcome to House of Champions. We're into international football mode and I'm delighted to say that I'm joined by Nigel Riococca and Mike LaHood, and we'll be picking through all of the best as we look ahead to the Euro 2024 qualifying action getting underway. But before that, don't forget to like, comment and subscribe on our YouTube channel and of course download, follow and leave a five-star review wherever you get your podcasts. And also you can keep it old school as well. Word of mouth, share with a friend, tell somebody, all of that jazz. So, you know, please don't stop them from getting all of their footballing goodness with us. Guys, how are we doing? Nigel, I'm going to come to you first. Looking forward to this kind of change of pace from the club game?
It's weird. It doesn't even feel like it's an international break, really and truly. It's just been so much football, but it's going to be interesting. I think that there's going to be a lot of clubs domestically who are going to be worried about this break because of getting to the nitty-gritty of the season and not wanting anything to happen to any of their major stars. So that probably is going to be the most interesting part for me.
Yeah, you definitely weren't hinting at Erling Haaland there, were you? Mike LaHood, how are you doing, my friend? Good to have you on. You looking forward to this international break? Feels weird that it's already post-World Cup, right?
I was thinking the same thing when I woke up today, guys. It was almost as if, only a couple months ago, we were celebrating the World Cup. And I know, JJ, you being in Paris, mourning the World Cup and all France national team fans everywhere.
But JJ's kinda from Birmingham, mate.
He's French, man. He's French. He's French, man. He's French.
Okay, I've heard the man Birmingham, French.
You're rehashing not even six-month-old family trauma. So please don't rip that scab off. It's still cauterizing.
JJ, you're from Birmingham, and Mike and I are your only two black friends. Sorry.
Just to put a bow on that, but I kind of like it because there's been so many back and forths on storylines, Champions League drama, La Liga drama with El Clasico, Barcelona. We won't even get in the deep end with that one. And now this is a different storyline with international soccer.
Well, you know what? I'm glad that you mentioned the drama because we're going to get to that in a minute. But let's just have a refresher first. Let's go through what actually, is going to entail the Euro 2024 qualifying process. So obviously, Germany as hosts automatically qualified. You've then got the 10 groups to decide. 20 of the 23 teams that advanced to the proper tournament, which means the remaining three places will be decided by UEFA Nations League results. I'm going to come to you first of all, Nigel, for that one. What do you think about the Nations League results being factored into all of this? It's a little bit like what we have going on in the Champions League and Europa League and Conference League, where sort of the winner of the lower tournament gets a place in the sort of tournament ranked above it in terms of the hierarchy, I guess you could call it.
JJ, I'm not going to pretend I'm the smartest man here or the smartest man in the world. I have no bloody idea. I just don't know anymore. I'm just being honest. But there's so many rules in football now. Every time a tournament is changing, this happens, that happens. I'm just being very honest with you. I have no bloody idea anymore because there's just too many rule changes.
You know these games aren't decided on goals anymore. No, decided on the amount of corners that you win.
No. Probably, yeah. It won't surprise me if football does that now.
Yeah, no, I know that they did the Nations League and any Nations League around the world just to give more validation to friendlies because you saw so many teams around the world not playing their best players. But I just don't get it anymore. I'm with you, Nige. What I do know about these Euros is these are the same metrics. These are the same format that we saw last time out for Euro 2020 in England. I'm also the UK, but in England. So that ended up being a very entertaining Euros. I do like the fact that this gives more of a chance for some of the underdogs in Europe to play more of a factor in the European Championship. That is the one caveat of this format.
Yeah, and I think that's a fair point. And we'll get sort of more into the makeup of some of these qualification groups in a minute. Right now, let's turn to the drama. I know that Nigel in particular would have been looking forward to this one. So France have made Kylian Mbappe captain. We know that Didier Deschamps has come out and confirmed it. It's not really a surprise given that Hugo Lloris retired in the aftermath of the 2022 World Cup. And Raphael Varane, who's sort of been a long-time vice-captain of the French team, has also called time on his international career as well. But then you've got this supposed drama between Mbappe and Griezmann, where Griezmann was supposedly in line to be the captain and is now made vice captain. Mike, do you think it's the right call, putting Mbappe ahead of Griezmann?
I don't. I get where Deschamps is coming from, and I think it's probably down to the personality of Kylian Mbappe first and foremost. We have seen him be the big fish at PSG, and when he doesn't get what he wants, you hear him banging on the drum, and there's a mean side of Mbappe, or a different side of Mbappe, if you will. There's no mean or nice, but different side of Mbappe that comes in. I think this is a slight against Antoine Griezmann, and how Griezmann reacts to this will dictate how this French national team, in terms of inside the locker room, does in this Euro qualification. Antoine Griezmann, this guy has done everything for Didier Deschamps. He's played out of position, one of the best players, not even a center midfielder, being asked to play as a box-to-box midfielder. He's played as a number 10 for France. He's had to make way for Mbappe, Giroud to play in a back 3-3-5-2 system, sometimes playing as a striker, sometimes playing an attacking mid. If Griezmann is or continues to be the leader that he has been for France, then I think he'll squash this and he'll be the bigger person moving forward.
Well, well, well. Where to start? For the first time, guys, I think I may stay neutral in this, but
what?
It's hard to. I personally think that Mbappe does deserve it because I think, like, again, the eyes don't lie. Griezmann is a fantastic player. There's no denying that. But what people have to understand is the captain's armband is just a decoration piece. It's more about what goes beyond that. And through my experience in my career, I've known that being a captain is more than just having the armband. It's about leadership skills and being out there. And just because you have the armband doesn't mean you're necessarily the captain that the players really believe in. I understand, obviously, Griezmann, because of how long he's been in the national team and what he's done, that people would say, yeah, he deserves it. Obviously, he's the older player as well, but I don't believe in that. I think that Mbappe, from what I've seen in him, he is more of a leader. He's more of a person that can take the burden of the national team. And if the national team don't succeed and the failure that goes with the national team, he'll be a player that can handle it more. I personally think Griezmann, again, a fantastic player. But I don't see that leadership quality in him. I don't see that character that can lead and galvanize that dressing room. I think that dressing room would be more so behind Mbappe than they would be behind Griezmann. So I think personally, it's done right. I also think that he's probably had a big influence from somewhere up in French Football Federation and the whole, let's be real about it, marketing, everything that goes with the modern game of football now plays a part. Mbappe is a player that's marketable around the world and can be more of a representation for France, the nation, than Griezmann can. So that does play a part. There is some politics involved in this decision as well. But still, from everything that I have seen, I don't believe in the whole age factor. I think that there comes to more being a leader and a captain than just having a decoration of the armband. And I just see more of a leadership role in Mbappe than I do in Griezmann.
I think it's interesting you say that, but JJ, I know you have a comment to make. You go first.
And I was just going to say to the listeners, you know, keep those comments coming in. We've got Ed going a bit Jekyll and Hyde. One really boiling hot shout of Adrian Rabiot potentially being captain, and then one about Nigel Riococca being sort of the standard to which you know, captaincy has to live up to, which I think is a fair shout. But there you go, Ed coming up again. Mbappe is definitely no Nigel Riococca when it comes to leadership, and I think we can all agree
that's
on
so
that.
So true, Ed. Just, you're right.
Just before throwing this back to Mike, yeah. I'm going to add my two pence in here. Before World Cup 2022, and I know obviously it's a huge you know, stage to step up and deliver on, would we have said that Griezmann had that much longer left in his career at the top level? Because personally, I felt that Griezmann was lucky to hold on to his starting 11 place going into that World Cup. Mm. Now, he's just turned 32. You know, and I'm not saying that that rules him out from being the captain. In fact, if anything, that could probably be an argument in his favor. You know, but also at the same time, when you've got somebody like Mbappe, who's already shown that he can lead both in terms of being a vocal leader and in terms of the example he sets on the pitch, do you really overlook that? Because realistically, if you make Mbappe captain of the French national team now, he's probably not going to hand over that armband until the end of his time with the national team, which logically is at least going to be 10 years long, if not more. So, you know, you could say that Deschamps is making a long-term decision here that, okay, might be undone by a future coach, whoever that might be, Zinedine Zidane, cough, cough. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, Mbappe is French footballing royalty in a similar way to Zidane, you know, was in his day. And, you know, it makes a lot of sense. You know, I think I can see both sides of the argument here. You know, it makes a lot of sense that you make the decision in Mbappe's favor now because he can deliver at this moment in time, but also in the future as well. Whereas with Griezmann, we're really expecting him to play a major role beyond the Euros, because at the end of the day, Deschamps is going to oversee the Euros and the World Cup. It's a two tournament cycle. Are we expecting the same from Griezmann to be part of that? I'm not so sure that we are. Now, that's not to say that Griezmann's not an important figure in the French national team setup. He is hugely important, had a very good World Cup as well, unexpectedly so. I just think that, you know, for me, I think it's the right call. You know, I don't think you can guarantee that Griezmann is going to be at that same level much longer. In fact, to be honest, I'd be surprised if he didn't drop off a bit in these qualifiers. But equally, you know, I think, you know, big responsibility now comes, you know, for Mbappe. You know, we've shown him without the armband being able to lead the nation. Now he has it. You know, can he sort of live up to those expectations? You'd suspect that he can. But equally, at the same time, this is also going to be a challenge on those young shoulders.
JJ, quick question for you before we shift our focus. What's been the reaction in the French media and amongst the French people to this decision?
I mean, there's been speculation that Griezmann, you know, might consider retiring, which I think is a bit silly, really. But, you know, a lot of what you read in the French press is quite silly. You know, there's, I mean, there's been some people as well suggesting that there's been a bit of disrespect. And that's not just the journalists, that's former players as well. You've got the likes of, you know, Robert Pires coming out suggesting that it was a lack of respect. You know, and I think as well, you got to bear in mind, you know, some of the players who have sort of, you know, stepped out of the international limelight in the last couple of months as well. You know, not just Lloris and Varane who were there at the World Cup, but you've got Benzema as well. So obviously there's been a lot of debate about sort of what impact, you know, keeping Didier Deschamps on has had on this French national team. Let's not forget as well, it was the final act of Noël Legret's French Football Federation presidency as well. He's now left in disgrace. There's going to be a new president put in place in the summer. You know, so there's, you know, there's a lot of stuff being said about, you know, the setup in and around the French national team at the moment, not just the French national team. But I, you know, I'd also say that, you know, making this decision in Mbappe's favor has probably created a bit of positive buzz these last few days. And obviously ahead of the game against the Netherlands at Stade de France to kick off the qualifiers, you know, that's probably a good thing to have to kind of keep that feel good factor going around the team, because let's not forget, you know, nobody expected them to make that deep run to the final, or at least not at the beginning of the tournament in Qatar. You know, and there is, you know, a lot to feel positive about for France moving forward. I mean, you look at some of the talent that's just being added to the squad, you know, and it could be, you know, potentially good times ahead for, you know, for Les Bleus. And you guys must have loved this as well. I think I dropped the video into the chat the other day. Lilian Thuram sending off his his two boys, Marcus and Kefren, to training. Let's just take a look at it. So yeah, basically Lilian Thuram being the embarrassing dad, you know, to his two talented young sons. But no, I mean, to see somebody like Kefren getting called up, you know, recognizing his fantastic form with Nice, you know, I think that's great. And look at this squad now. It's loaded, you know, with potential young talent. It is really, really exciting. I mean, it's very, very early Nigel Riococca, but are we looking at them as potential, you know, dominators of world and European football?
It's not very early. I think with the quality that France have and the quality they still have in and all the leagues that these guys are playing, France should be favourite for the Euros and the World Cup for the next probably 3 or 4 cycles, I would say. Like, it's hard to argue with the talent that they have and at the clubs that they're playing at and the calibre that they're playing at and how good these players are. You know, Chelsea, you've got pretty much half the team in there anyway. you got Real Madrid. You've got, like, it is what it is. And I'm just going to say, JJ, don't rule out Griezmann maybe retiring, mate. I know it sounds stupid to you. Let's be real. This is the French we're talking about. Very passionate, very pride people. Proud people. Let's see.
I mean, though, come on. You got Griezmann and Giroud. I mean, when Giroud is still in the national team, I mean, surely he's still going to stick around. We'll see about that. But, I mean, let's not forget as well with the squad, you've got no William Saliba, no Wesley Fofana because they had to pull out injured. So you could even strengthen that defence as well. Mike Lahoud, are we believing that Camavinga's really going to be considered a defender here on out? He's going to be a fullback after that positional change during the World Cup. Strikes me as a bit of a weird one, a bit like Tim Weir, although given that Tim Weah is not exactly prolific in front of goal, I can kind of buy into that one a little more than I can Camavinga.
Camavinga has become the ultimate utility player around the world. We've seen it at club level. We saw it in the World Cup. And I'm not going to give Nigel any props, but I'm becoming more of a believer in Camavinga since the World Cup at Real Madrid. Nigel, you did not influence me in that. My own eyes did watching the Champions League. That's
if
all
I didn't say, it wouldn't have registered in your brain for your eyes to pay attention.
Yes, it would have. JJ, before we get into the arguments over nothing, I will say this. When you're a player within a squad, your value sometimes goes up more if you play multiple positions. You know the manager can trust you, or the manager knows he can trust you to throw you in anywhere on the field, and you're going to deliver. And I think Camavinga is becoming that sort of player for France.
That's a fair point, and I think versatility is definitely something that Didier Deschamps appreciates. All right, well, you know, throwing it ahead, looking at these qualifiers, you've got the Netherlands and Ireland coming up for France. No Frankie de Jong, no Steven Bergwijn for the Dutch. And then you've got Evan Ferguson as well, Ireland's new hope. Now, obviously, we know all about the Dutch, what to expect for them. You've got Koeman coming back for a second bite at the cherry. They're still loaded with a lot of talent. Perhaps didn't, you know, go as far as some of us expected, notably me, at the World Cup in Qatar. But they did get past the USMNT, much to Mike's disappointment. But, you know, is this a team, Nigel Riococca, that we're expecting, you know, big things from in these qualifiers? Or do you think that there could be difficult times ahead for Koeman now that he's come back for his second spell in charge of the Dutch national team?
I think there'll be difficult times ahead. I think the Dutch, for me, still, they've got a great squad of players, an abundance of talent, but they just seem to still, in my opinion, are missing that X factor. And I don't know how to describe it or put it into words. I know people will be like, oh, no, you know, they've got Gakpo. They're still missing that real X factor. And I think
excellent Xavi Simons.
Yes, I'm happy. Thank you. I'm happy we're talking about this kid. Since Cody Gakpo left, this is the heir apparent at PSG. And I think the heir creative apparent in midfield. A good Dutch team has a creative attacking midfielder. I think at the World Cup, that's where they struggled. Too many of the same midfielders, Frenkie de Jong being a cut above, but he's a deep lying playmaker. There was not enough connectivity from midfield to front. And I think that's what hurt them at the end of the day. But if you can get Xavi Simon games in the Euros or in these qualifiers, then I think it'll pay dividends at the Euros.
Well, so you're going to disappoint.
You just contributed to what I was saying and then you just take over, but I like it. That's what I'm saying. I'm missing that X factor. Michael and JJ brought in that X factor. Nigel, rest his case.
Well, disappointing any PSG fans listening out there. I'm not sure that Xavi Simons will be returning to Paris, but let's wait and see what the next couple of months have in store. Obviously, we do know that there is that possibility, that kind of gentleman's agreement alongside his contract, that there could be a way for PSG to recuperate him from PSV. But given the way he's exploded, I don't think even staying at PSV is necessarily the way forward for him to develop his career when you've got some of Europe's biggest clubs knocking on his door. Now, just before before we go to a break, we're going to throw it to the Premier League quickly, channel the spirit of James Benjamin here. Evan Ferguson, Ireland's new hope, and obviously producer Dez as well, making his glib comments in the chat about Antoine Griezmann getting his decision video ready about his potential retirement. But Nigel, how highly do you rate Ferguson? And is he somebody that could perhaps, I don't know, lead Ireland on an international renaissance at some point in the future?
I think it can. I think it is. I think for me, again, with Ireland, it's just been a long process. I think that they've missed the ball in the sense of really developing the young players and stuff like that they've got, because they always have talent. But I think whether it's been a lack of cohesion in the development process and getting them out there playing and continuing to build on momentum, that's gone missing. And again, if you look at what Wales did, when Wales brought back some ex-players and got them involved in the system, Wales' rise isn't a shock. Wales' rise is because of development and recruiting and getting these players to want to represent Wales and really putting an effort into the younger age groups and the youth. I think he can be definitely someone that can make a big difference, but they're going to need a lot more than just Evan Ferguson. And let's see what they do next.
Yeah, I agree with you, Nige. I think that they have a real chance in terms of really developing the potential of a player like Evan Ferguson, another player, Obafemi, up top. Look, if you're Ireland, you don't have the Roy Keynes. You missed out on Declan Rice. You missed out on JJ's wallbanger of a hero, Jack Grealish. And now you just are who you are. Get the ball forward and get it to your two best players who play up top. I think if you have Obafemi on one side, Ferguson on the other. Ferguson is becoming a more dependable goal scorer in the FA Cup. I mean, this guy scored a goal against league leaders Arsenal, so you know he's got a bit of stuff about him.
I've got Dez coming up with an extended list of the players who have snubbed representing Ireland over other nations, and he's still typing.
That's a long list. We don't have
exactly. As we go into the break, he's still typing.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
All right, everybody, welcome back. The Soccer Calendar never takes a break. Stay up to date with every story and every heart-pounding moment from the world's game with the Golazo Starting 11 newsletter from CBS Sports. It's your ultimate guide to the beautiful game, taking you beyond the pitch and around the globe with expert analysis of everything that you need to know in the world of soccer. So sign up today for free at cbssports.com/Golazo. Once again, it's the Golazo Starting 11 newsletter, and you can sign up for free at cbssport.com/golazzo. All right, guys, getting straight back into it with Euro 2024 qualifiers. And we're looking at the defending champions, Italy, hosting England. Now, we know that Marcus Rashford and Mason Mount are out with injury for the Three Lions. But what I'm actually really curious about heading into this one is that this is actually a really tricky Group C, you know, both for England and for Italy. I mean, obviously, Italy didn't qualify for the World Cup in Qatar, so they've already got a bit of pride to salvage. I like the fact that the first game off the bat is going to be a rematch of the 2020 Euro final against England. But you look at this group, I mean, you know, North Macedonia as well have managed to pull off their fair share of shocks in the last couple mm-hmm. of years as well. Just ask Germany. You know, Group C, does it have a making of being a group of death, Mike LaHood?
Absolutely. You look at the story that's being told in Italy. There's revenge on their minds when they see North Macedonia on the list as well. I like the fact that this opens up with the rematch for a couple of reasons. A European championship or a major tournament without Italy, it's a bit odd. You know, they are one of the drama kings or queens of soccer around the world. And I'm looking to see if there's a bit of a renaissance in the Italian squad. You have much younger players coming in, but you still have some familiar names that I don't know if they're going to kind of roll out the carpet and give some players a chance. The fact that Scamacca is your lead striker or could be a starter, given what we've seen at West Ham, that gives me a bit of concern with Italy. And if you start players that haven't really delivered at club level and you're bypassing players that have been playing well in Serie A and around the world, then I think it could be more of the same. But I expect a response from Italy in this group.
Who would you pick as the main striker, Mike, ahead of Scamacca then?
I would go with, obviously, that's a good one, Nige. Yeah.
That's the problem. When you've watched the great Italian teams, one thing that Italy always had was a recognized striker. You're talking about all the strikers that they've had playing for Italy, the legends that have played there. Now, recently, they don't have that no more. They're struggling to produce that striker that's going to get goals. And I think that is one of the worrying things for Italy, because obviously watching West Ham as well, Scamacca hasn't been great. And Italians have always been, yes, you know, they've always been well organized, difficult, hard to beat. You know, their production when it comes to defenders is always great. Midfielders also is great. But they've always had the strikers. You're talking about Baggio's. You're talking about Vieri. You're talking about so many of the legends that have gone before. Now, in this generation, in these periods, the past couple of years, they've struggled to produce a striker. And you hesitating, Mike, just tells you enough in the sense of what is the problem with Italy.
Well, yeah, they've got quality coming through, though, surely, with Gnonto, for example. I know you guys are going to wax lyrical about him in a minute. But, I mean, also Grifo. I mean, you know, shout out to Ian Paul-Joy, because I know that he'd get really angry if we weren't praising Bundesliga quality. But Grifo has, you know, he's been, I'm not going to say prolific
he's been good, but
consistently scoring in Germany the last couple of years. So, you know, perhaps calling him prolific up is deserved. But
AJ,
also,
you need prolific. This is Italy you're talking about. They've always had a prolific goal scorer. One of their star players has always been a goal scorer, and they just haven't produced one in recent years.
At the last Euros, would you say that their striker was prolific?
No, they wasn't. But they grinded out results. But still, for winning, like you're talking about the World Cup. Like, yes, they won the European Championships, and obviously they were under a lot of pressure. But still, when you look at them, when they come against better opposition, Italy has always had a prolific striker. I think that is a big thing that's missing, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think just to tie a bow on this, the fact that you don't have a go-to number nine is going to force maybe a lot of Italian teams are playing with that free-forming front three. You have wingers who can play in the pockets. You have attacking midfielders. I mean, Chiesa is playing further forward for Juventus this season, and he's already cashing in with goals and assists. So I wouldn't be surprised if they play with maybe a false nine and then two attacking midfielders underneath, because that attacking crew, they can play that.
You got Spinazzola back in the setup as well, who was so crucial in success in Euro 2020 as well. So definitely want to keep an eye on. All right, well, we will move on to Group A, and we've got new look Spain and Norway minus Erling Haaland. So Luis de la Fuente taking charge for the first time. Obviously, he replaced Luis Enrique after the World Cup, but Haaland out. I mean, it's we were saying earlier about, potentially players not wanting to get injured ahead of the run-in in their respective domestic leagues. This is a huge blow for Norway because not only is it a tricky start to qualifying for them, both of their games being played away, to do it without their talisman, Erling Haaland, who, let's be perfectly honest, Norway perhaps have some decent players sort of, and are maybe a bit underrated as a collective outside of Haaland. Obviously you've got Odegaard as well, who is, a very high quality player. But, it does feel like Norway are going to face a massively uphill task now to get out of this group if they start off on the wrong foot without Haaland. Do you feel this is completely down to, the injury that he picked up against Burnley, Nigel Riococo, or do you think it's bearing in mind some of the big games that Man City have to play coming up just after the international break? They've got Bayern in the Champions League, got the FA Cup semi-final against Sheffield United, and obviously they're still in the title race as well against Arsenal.
JJ, I think Pep's got in his ear and said, listen, kid, just remember where your bread is buttered, all right? Listen, national team, I understand, but it's just not going to quite work out for you right now. So just come back here and relax. I need you, kid. I need you. That's all Pep said to him. That's all he had to say. I watched Norway in one of the last qualifiers international games a while back, or whether it was a Nations League game. It's nothing to sing and dance about. Haaland is not going to get the same service that he gets at Manchester City. Odegaard, fantastic player. And this is no disrespect to the rest of collectively, but they're not up there at that level of where they need to be. You talk about Norway, you talk about Odegaard and Haaland, and that is it. And it's a different dynamic when you're playing international football. He's not getting the same service and he's not getting the same style of play that he's used to now at Manchester City. And like I said, I think that he's probably seen it himself, how important it is, because he wants to win the Champions League, I'm sure, wants to win the Premier League. And they've looked at it, whether people agree with it or not, they've probably turned around and said, you know what? Yeah, let me just save myself for domestic purposes. But it's going to be difficult for Norway.
I think it's going to be difficult, but this is a marathon when it comes to qualification and not a sprint. And I think if Pep Guardiola has been in his ear, or the national team manager has been in his ear, if the player's feeling uncomfortable, these aren't do or die games just yet. Erling Haaland has a phenomenal goal record, both for club and for country, Nigel Coker. He does get good service. Yes, I agree with you that it's not the quality of service that he gets in the Premier League, but there are some ballers and up-and-coming ballers in this Norway team. Without Haaland, it'll have to be through the play of Martin Odegaard. One thing Odegaard has done much better this season is he's getting goals. He hasn't scored a goal for a while, but he'll have to have his shooting boots on for Norway if they're to get anything from these two games.
Don't worry about what's been going on in the background here, guys. It's just the missus coming in to get some bleach for her ears every time Nigel Riococo throws something out there. No, but I mean, let's stick with that idea about Norway for a moment. You look at that group, you would imagine that it's going to be between Spain, Scotland and Norway to potentially, finish in those top two spots. Obviously, we would consider Spain the heavy favourite to finish at the top of the pile, but that is a big opportunity for Norway to potentially get that second place and qualify for the Euros.
You can't
and to not have Haaland.
Don't write off Georgia
because of one player.
Don't write off Georgia. Don't write off Georgia because they gave Spain a run for their money, mate. Do not be fooled. But let's just say, listen, this is why we love football.
But everyone gave Spain a run for their money because Spain never score against you.
Oh, man. This is funny.
Spain need two legs to score one goal.
First game in the World Cup when Costa Rica took an absolute tonking. Everyone's going Spanish crazy, right? Or Spain crazy, should I say.
Well, that's all their goals used up ahead of qualification.
Yeah, speaking of Spain, I'm intrigued to see how the Spanish national team really perform at this Euros. They've gone a lot younger. A lot of the usual suspects you see aren't there. You still have the likes of Kepa, but when he puts on the Spain jersey, we'll see how he reacts to that. Okay, no De Gea. I get that decision. I don't agree with it, but as a United fan, I'll take it. Arrested De Gea. Will take, but in attack, the question still remains, who is going to score those goals? Now, Dani Olmo not getting the run of games that we've seen.
Iago Aspas.
Oh, Iago's back. Oh, man. No. It doesn't translate for what he does at Celta for the national team. I think Nico Williams, that is a player who I liked from the recent World Cup. I think that this could be the sort of platform that he thrives in, being one of the go-to players.
I mean, that's fair. Nigel, what did you make of Sergio Ramos's comments where he came out and basically said, I got a call this morning from the new manager. He's told me I'm not going to be in the squad and that my international future is over. And it basically forced him out. Obviously, the season not going the way that he and PSG would have wanted going out of the Champions League, no Coupe de France as well. But to be fair to Ramos, he has proven that he still maybe has like one or two years left at some level quite close to the top. I wouldn't say necessarily in the Champions League anymore. Then again, he didn't look awful against Bayern as PSG went out. Do you think that it's a mistake maybe from De La Fuente to leave out so many of these experienced heads?
I think it's a big gamble. It's a big call. But I agree with you, JJ. I think Ramos has been one of the shining lights for Paris Saint-Germain in recent weeks. And like you said, his performance against Bayern Munich was great. I feel he's got a lot to offer, but it seems like the new direction that Spain is taking now is this next generation. And like Michael said, the biggest problem with Spain still for me is I don't see them really defensively a problem or in midfield. They've got an abundance of talent. It's goal scoring. It's scoring a goal, putting the goal, putting the ball in the back of the net. That is the biggest problem with this Spanish team. Again, you can't talk about the talent that they have, but you can talk about, again, that lack of killer instincts, that lack of X factor that's needed most in the final third. They'll keep the ball. They'll play beautiful tiki-taki. They'll bore you to death with how beautiful football they play. But they're lacking that X factor putting into the back of the net in the final third. I think Ramos can feel hard done by, but he's not the first senior player or good top international that it's happened to. It happens to a lot of them at the end of the day. And this is the business that football is. You know, some nations, some countries, some clubs know how to treat their senior players and people who've represented them for a long period of time way better than others do. And I think that you'd have to say he deserved better treatment than he has received from the national team right now for what he's done for Spain as an international. Even if you call him in to say these could be his last couple of games representing Spain, you just make it nice, make him play and, you know, do something. Because I don't think he'll make a big difference to make Spain's style or system change dramatically if you take him in for these games and say, you know, these are going to be his last few internationals. But it's the game of football.
Guys, keep those comments coming in. Just saw Rafa Cardenas throwing in there that Iglesias was a surprise omission from the squad. Totally agree with that. And it's difficult to see where the goals are going to come from for Spain. But the Spanish aren't the only team with a new manager in charge. And we'll get to more of that shortly.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back, everybody. Well, right on to another team who have a new manager in charge. Now you've got Portugal, who have Roberto Martinez. Martinez obviously oversaw the disappointing World Cup with Belgium in Qatar, yet he's failed upwards, many would say, and landed the Portugal job. And he still finds himself with Cristiano Ronaldo, who incidentally has hit the ground running with Al Nassr since he moved to Saudi Arabia. Mike Lahoud, I'm coming to you first. What's more surprising, that Roberto Martinez is now Portugal coach, or that Ronaldo is still involved after what happened in the World Cup, or both?
The Ronaldo is still involved. I know when Martinez got this job, we were all scratching our heads. But the fact that you have a player who is still holding on for dear life to the Portuguese national team, I think that hinders the growth and the development and really the opportunity that players who are younger that are ready to take the mantle of this Portuguese national team. Rafa Leão, that's one player I think you need to just say, hey, get rid, Ronaldo, sorry, you've had your time. Thank you for what you've done to the national team and give this player a chance. Gonzalo Ramos, this guy is a baller. He's doing it in the Champions League. He's doing it in the Portuguese League. And I'm a bit disappointed in this decision, but I can also see it. If you're a new manager, you don't want to ruffle every single feather by making a controversial decision like this. I think in time we'll see him phase out Ronaldo.
Have you not been looking at his numbers though in Saudi Arabia? 9 goals in 8 games. He's only like 6 goals off of being top scorer in the league already. And Al Nassr, I think, are 1 point off of the top team. So yeah, it's I guess if we're going statistically, Ronaldo is still earning his spot in this squad. Nigel Riococo, what do you make of it? Is this nonsense, or do you see the logic in Roberto Martinez sticking with CR7?
JJ, we've spoken about qualifications, how the games change this and that, and I was baffled. This is another decision for me that I'm completely baffled on both ends as well. Like, I'm still just trying to understand it, but I didn't make the decision, so it is what it is. But I agree with Mike. I think for me, it's a point of selfishness now. Is it really that we're still on this desperation of marketing and everything else that goes on, that you cannot see that there's a new generation of Portuguese players coming? They need to be bought through. They need to be playing to get the experience early. Now, Ronaldo is an absolute legend. He's a Portuguese great. But still putting him at this level and everything, and we saw it with our own eyes at the World Cup, it's a hindrance to the team. And it's a point of, it's just for me, it's a point of, I believe it's just selfishness now. It's just complete selfishness now. There's a time, a moment that you have in your spotlight, and then there's a time just to bow out gracefully. He could bow out gracefully, but it's not his decision. I mean, whether it's, again, the Portuguese FA, and if it's to do with marketing, because he is Ronaldo, for me, you're just hindering yourself and you're stopping the progression of the great young talent you have coming through. It's just baffling. It really is baffling. And, you know, you said it, that Martinez had a great opportunity with Belgium. And obviously some players made some comments which kind of let you know an insight on how that dressing room felt about the manager. And then he goes and gets this Portuguese job where, again, you've got a bunch of great young talent coming through. And it's, I don't know, it's baffling for me.
I think just a small caveat to remember as well, when we talk about Ronaldo, he's 38 now. He'll be 39 at the next Euros. That's a massive gamble that you're taking in terms of the growth of some of the other players. With Roberto Martinez, though, he likes to play a back three. We saw that with the Belgian national team for his tenure. We could potentially see a freshening up of this Portuguese lineup or this roster. I don't know how that will translate to this Portuguese national team, because just about every team outside of Sporting Lisbon plays some semblance of a 4-3-3. I know Sporting has that back three and they're doing well in the Europa League, but I just have a lot of questions about how he'll lead this team right now.
Oh, you guys will be delighted to know then that Pepe is still in the squad. So that's two semi-geriatric players that are going to be starting in this Portuguese side.
No, but do you know what, JJ? I'm going to defend Pepe though, because the thing with Pepe is he's a defender.
I'm glad that you're doing this though. So what sets Pepe and Ronaldo apart, except they play different positions, obviously?
Pepe's job is not to put the ball into the back of the net. It's to stop the ball getting into the back of the net, which for me is easier and achievable than that. When you're looking at the likes of Ronaldo, you're talking about the high demands of creativity, scoring goals, being able to go up there and this and that. Pepe can really lead, because Pepe really is one of the best defenders to play the game. He knows the art of defending. He can teach the younger generation. We've seen Ronaldo recently go up there and supposed to be a leader. And all I've seen him do recently is throw his arms in the air, moan and this. And it just seems to be all about him. And if it's not all about him, it's not going to be a happy camp. And that's the problem you have. Pepe's just gone in, done his job, defended. And I think he can be very influential to the next generation because they can still learn from him. But I think Ronaldo, now it's time you bow out. Like Mike said, you have Rafael Leão. That team can be built around him and be very successful for a good couple of years to actually compete to win something.
Yeah, one player just to touch on quickly, though, you can have Pepe in as the influential figure, as you said, but Pepe's injury problems this season, it comes with age. It comes with being a defender who's not afraid to get into tackles. One player, Gonzalo Inacio. We saw him play at the Emirates, standout performer in that back line against Arsenal. He's one to keep an eye on, this Portugal squad.
All right, guys, and then moving on from Portugal, who have a new coach, to Belgium, who have replaced Roberto Martinez. Obviously, this one was a bit of a surprise for me. Domenico Tedesco moving over from club duty to international duty. No Eden Hazard anymore for Belgium. Kevin De Bruyne is the new captain. Mike Lahoud, going to ask you for your quick thoughts, followed by Nigel. Is this the right decision? Is this, the first of all, the right manager and also the right skipper for the Belgians?
I can answer the easiest one. It's the right decision to name De Bruyne as captain. He was vice captain under Martinez. And there was a match I saw last year between, I think, the Netherlands and Belgium in Brussels. And you could just see a difference once De Bruyne was on the field as a captain. I mean, he scored goals, had assists. And as soon as Hazard came on, it just deflated the team. It was almost this, almost like this entitlement factor of, oh, well, he's Eden Hazard. Let's just keep him with the armband. I think this Belgian national team can now function in a healthier way. You know who your talisman is. You have younger players who are still coming through that can build around them. And I think you'll see more balance in the team. In terms of Tedesco, I was very surprised by that decision, because I think when you have that much talent, and there's still talent within this Belgian team, you need a manager who's going to command the respect of Kevin De Bruyne. I'm not sure if Tedesco is that sort of manager.
Personally, I don't really give a damn. The golden generation of Belgium is gone. They're not going to win anything. So let's talk about Belgium a couple of years down the line. That's all I have to say. But De Bruyne as a captain, I like, but I don't give a damn other than that.
Look, I mean, you guys cannot accuse us of not delivering the best insight, cutting edge punditry from Nigel Riococo once again. All right, guys, final thoughts. And obviously, we're close to finishing up and wrapping up here. But there's been a couple of things that have piqued the interest of certainly of the online community the last couple of days. Today, we had Mesut Özil announcing his retirement. Going to get thoughts from both of you quickly on that. Is this a player where, I mean, obviously, we had some great memories of Özil, both at club level and internationally. But is he also a player who perhaps didn't quite tap into the best of his potential ability? Because we saw flashes of his absolute genius at times, but it never really feels like we saw it over a consistent basis. I know that many feel he outstayed, either his welcome at Arsenal by the end, or perhaps stayed a bit longer than he perhaps should have, with the Gunners. Nigel Riococo, is this somebody who was a bit of a flawed genius?
Talented player. Unbelievable natural ability, but he only played when he wanted to play. And the reality is, when you play at the highest level, whether it's the top leagues in Europe or international level, you are required to do that week in, week out, whether you like it or not. And he just didn't want to do it week in, week out. I don't know him personally, but I'm not going to take away anything from the ability and talent that he had. And like you said, JJ, we just didn't see it enough. But when he wanted to play, wow, was he a force.
I agree with you, Nige. He was one of my favorite players to watch at Real Madrid. I think one of the most underappreciated players in his prime. He's a player that had to give up his number 10 shirt for James Rodriguez when he was leading La Liga in assists year in and year out. Only player I've seen in a while who's top the World Cup leading assist charts, top La Liga assist charts, top Premier League assist charts, top just about every league he's played in. There's an underappreciation for Mesut Ozil, but I agree with you, Nige, on the fact of
About that. I like that, Mike. I love that knowledge. You don't ever mention about giving up a damn shirt number again, all right? Because I'm going to lose respect for you if you do that again.
As I was saying before, just a nasty draft came in that was just a bunch of noise in the form of Nigel Riococo. He didn't realize his full potential, because I think he didn't have enough players around him like he did at Madrid, like he did with the German national team during his time at Arsenal. There was a turbulent time for the club, and I think that's what cost him in the end.
He was a big talking nonsense. He had talent around him. He just wasn't interested in playing at Arsenal. Like, let's not.
Look at the leadership and the lack of leadership that was there.
Yeah,
JJ, take it. I'm not getting into it with this guy.
Oh, no, Nigel's actually just touched upon something really interesting, so I'm going to try and crowbar it in here quickly. How important actually is numbers, like, in a professional footballer's career? Like, when apparently, you pick your shirt number.
Apparently, to JJ, to Michael, it's everything.
It depends who you are and which club you're at. When you're the number 10, when you're the attacking midfielder, when you've waited, this guy didn't even get the number 10 jersey for Germany. When you've waited a while, there's something about being the number 10 at Real Madrid that is prolific, and it's earning respect that's given to you by the club. So I think for a player like him, I think that mattered.
Nigel Riococo, what was your favorite number? What was the number that you would go to war for with your
first
teammates?
No, the only number that mattered to me the most was my first number that I had when I made my debut, and it was number 20. That's it. But I'm not going to go to another club and say, I want to be number 20. If it was empty, then yeah. But other than that, I'm not bothered. If I have to give a number 20, it doesn't bother me. You're judged on the football.
Luckily for you, not that many people would have been fighting over number 20 anyway.
I similar to Nige, my first number that I was ever given was the only number that I really had an attachment to. But I want to just turn and pivot to that to talk about my final thoughts. Sierra Leone, I know we're going to talk about Messi in a bit, but Sierra Leone, country of my birth, country of Nigeria Coker's heritage, is playing today, African Cup of Nations qualifier. Cannot wait after the show to just celebrate, hopefully, a win over Sao Tome. Love African football, as I always say, when there's a chance to talk about it. And come on, you Leone stars, do not disappoint me. I've got African food in the fridge. Finally, let's go.
When I get a manager's job there or coach job there, then we'll be successful, mate. I was just saying.
Mike LaHood hitting us in the feels, because obviously it wasn't the only retirement that we've seen this week from Mesut Ozil. We had Emmanuel Adebayor as well. And linking that to Sierra Leone, I saw a fantastic photo of Mo Kallon, the legendary former Sierra Leone footballer, celebrating a goal with Emmanuel Adebayor. So obviously that brings back lots of memories and ties it in nicely with Ligue 1 as well. But you did promise us some Lionel Messi. Now, we've seen some crazy scenes the last couple of days where Messi tried to go out for dinner in Buenos Aires, got absolutely mobbed. Is this basically what happens whenever you go out for dinner, Nige? Is this what we can expect if Messi ever goes to Miami? Is this what's going to be happening?
Well, he already got mobbed when he come to Miami. He goes to an Argentinian steakhouse and stuff. But I think in Miami, you could kind of disappear a lot as well, because remember, you've got baseball players, NFL players, and Hollywood people down in Miami. So, yeah, but I don't go out a lot. I don't even like people in general anyway, so I just stay at home.
These are all lies. I just want to confirm that, because if you can see in the... No, just kidding. This is what happens. This is the territory when you are a national icon. It's one thing to become a national hero, which Messi was, but since winning the World Cup, he has become a national icon, revered next to, almost in the same capacity, of Diego Maradona. This is just that deity status that he has now in the country. Yes, I said it. Yes, I said it.
You said what? It certainly looks like it was somebody's Dolmio day in that restaurant there.
You know what? They didn't do Uber Eats there, that restaurant. Uber Eats.
It's either that, or it's a scene from like Walking Dead or something outside with all those people, trying to reach out and grab him. Guys, that is all for us today. Thanks so much for joining me, Nigel Riococca and Mike LaHood. And thanks so much to you guys as well for listening to House of Champions. Please take a minute to leave a rating and review on your favorite podcast platform, or on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere that you listen to your podcasts. We're also available as videos.
JJ,
subscribe to us on YouTube as well. And final thought from Nigel Riococca. What do you want?
Ali A, Maradona for me, mate. Maradona was a real people. I love Messi. I love Messi. I think Messi's sensational. But I just felt that with Maradona, we really knew who Maradona was. Like, we really felt who Maradona was. So I'll pick Maradona. I'm sorry.
And on that note, we'll be back next week, Monday, to be precise. See you then.
Hey everyone, this is Jimmy Conrad, your favorite former U.S. men's national team player and the host of the Call It What You Want podcast. And I'm here to tell you that Vuori is a versatile clothing brand that speaks my language. It's inspired from the coastal California lifestyle, just like me. Its products stand the test of time, just like me. And also just like me, it endeavors to inspire others to live vibrant, healthy lives. Vuori gear is designed to look great in everyday life, while also being perfect for any workout activity. I'm currently rocking the men's Sunday performance jogger, and don't let the name deceive you. You can wear these babies any day of the week and in any situation. I'm talking going to the office, running errands, the gym, whatever your heart desires, because Vuori is an investment in your happiness. For our listeners, they are offering 20% off your first purchase. So get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet at Vuori.com/sports. That's Vuori.com/sports. Not only will you receive 20% off your first purchase, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75 and free returns. Again, go to Vuori.com/sports and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing.